Let's look here tonight in the book of James. James chapter 4. We're going to, after we have had a time here around the altars here tonight, we're going to receive communion. Appreciate Miller's making preparation, helping us on the communion for tonight. And everybody that's a Christian, you are certainly welcome to participate in this. The book of James chapter 4. We have, for the last several services, we've been talking about our need to step up and to step forward into some wonderful new things, goals and visions and dreams that the Lord can give to us concerning our life and this year, 2011. But I just want to I'm not putting on the brakes on this at all, but I just want to, just as an aside tonight, give you an encouragement in another area, and that is making sure that in all of our planning and all the purpose that we set forth to accomplish, that we do not leave God out of this. Amen. He has to be central in all that we are doing. And so even in our planning, even in the things that we want to do, make sure that your heart is lined up with the heart of God, the will of God in everything. James chapter 4, and reading here, starting with verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, but doeth it not, to him it is sin. So in all of our planning and our ideas and dreams as far as the coming year is concerned, there is this caution that needs to be included in all of this. And that is, whatever you do, don't move away from the will of God. Don't allow yourself to even ignore the will of God. Most of us, we know the will of God. We know what the Word of God says, and sometimes our problem is not that we don't know what to do. It's that we know and we neglect it. We neglect to do what the Lord asks us to do. It's a dangerous thing to just ignore and disregard what the Lord is saying to us. You know, whenever you step out of the will of God, you're not the only person affected. When you move away from God's will for your life, you are not the only one. Others around you are affected by that. When you step out of the plan of God and the will of God, others are affected. Lot, he chose the well-watered plains and wound up down in Sodom. And Lot was not the only one affected. The Bible says that his righteous soul was vexed. He was troubled and vexed in his spirit because of the decision that he had made. But yet he's sitting in the gates with the elders of those of Sodom and Gomorrah. And his family, his children, and those around him are affected. Not to neglect the reality of the fact that if Lot would have been able to declare and to have a righteous influence in that place. But for some reason, he just sat with the elders in the gate and just became like one of them. Even though his soul was vexed, he knew what was right, yet he just kind of went along with what was going on. And when judgment came, then all of those around him were affected. His wife and his children were all affected by the choice that he made. Amen. David chose to not go out to war when others were going out to war. And he was a man of war and a leader. But instead of going out to war, he stays behind and he gets himself in trouble with Bathsheba and adultery. And as a result, his family is affected and the whole nation is affected by the decision. You don't live to yourself. Amen. None of us live to ourselves. We all make decisions. And if you move out of the will of God, other people are affected by the choices that we make. That's why it's so important that we stay right in the center of the will of God and that we never leave God out of our purpose and our planning and our dreams and our visions. Make sure that we're moving in the direction of the will of God. Jonah, he decided to go another direction. God was calling him to Nineveh and he just ran the other way. And when he went down to Joppa, got on that ship, paid the price there, trying to get away from the will of God, but he couldn't do that. And he almost took a whole ship down, almost took a whole ship of pagan sailors down with him. And he was the one that had stepped out of the will of God. And when he got back in step with the purpose and the will of God for his life and his calling, then God began to give him favor. He goes down to Nineveh and preaches to that wicked pagan city that he really didn't even want them to turn from their sins, but they begin to repent and turn away from their sin. I mean, if you stay in step with God, then you're going to have the favor of God. If you get out of the will of God, you're affected by it. Others around you are affected by it. It may be a much more far-reaching effect than you could ever imagine when we leave God out of our plan and our purpose. There's a wonderful verse in Psalm 33 in verse 11. Psalm 33 in verse 11, it says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations." Amen. The will of God is not something to be afraid of. The will of God comes from the heart of God. Amen. And you can trust the heart of God. And so don't be afraid that if I submit myself to the will of God, that it's going to hinder my plans. Or it's going to somehow be a ball and chain around my purpose and my success. No, it's when we yield to the Lord and to the purpose of God and to His plan, and we do the will of God, because we can do that with confidence, because we know that the will of God comes from the heart of God. Amen. Amen. And what a wonderful thing that it is. But it's a big, big mistake to make plans and leave God out. Amen. A big mistake to do that with all of our planning and all of our purpose. I know of churches, and we probably move to the other extreme, but I know of churches that have, you know, they'll have staff meetings one day a week, and they'll go from the morning till the evening, and sitting there talking about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and how we're going to make it happen, and they make all their plans. And that's, you know, planning is not a bad thing. But you need to make sure that you incorporate in all your planning times to seek the Lord, times to call upon the Lord, and not just man-made ideas and plans. Our counsel needs to come from the heart of God. Amen. Amen. Seek the Lord about your life. Seek the Lord about your future. Young people, don't just make your plans thinking that, you know, what you want is going to fall in place. You need to seek the heart of God. Seek the will of God and follow His plan. And I've heard parents and family members say before, "Oh, I could never let my family or my children go to some mission field or some foreign field. It's too dangerous for them to go there." Not so. The safest place to be is in the will of God. It doesn't matter where it is. If it's in some dangerous foreign field, it doesn't matter. If you're stepping in the will of God, that is the safest place to be. And right here at home can be the most dangerous place to be if you're out of the will of God. Amen. So don't leave God out. Don't leave Him out. Make sure that whenever you're making your plans for this year and the coming weeks and months, and that you're calling upon the Lord. Lord, what would please You? What is Your will? What do You want to do? And that was the warning here from James. Chapter 4, go to now. The phrase there is just, listen up to me. Pay attention to this. This is important. Go to now. Pay attention. This is an important thing. Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now that verse is packed full of man's plans. Man's plans. Talking about a time frame, first of all, a period of time, today and tomorrow. This is what we're going to do. This is our plan, a time frame. Talking about places. We're going to go into such and such city. Places. You need to ask the Lord about timing. You need to ask the Lord about places and what God wants to do and where that He wants to do it. And then, say, we're going to go into such a city and we're going to continue there a year. Again, the timing. They were describing a people who make plans and say, this is what we're going to go. We're going to go to this city at this particular time, and we're going to stay here for a whole year. And then, not only that, but describing what their plans were during the time that they were there. We're going to buy, and we're going to sell, and we're going to get gain. This whole verse is about man's presumption. Presuming that we can make plans and leave God out of it. It's important, our timing. He said, today or tomorrow, we're going to do this. We don't know what another day is going to bring. The scripture says, boast not of tomorrow. Don't make your plans of tomorrow, because you don't know what another day is going to bring. Arizona, a congresswoman, yesterday morning, just an open air meeting with her constituents, just to have an opportunity to talk to those that she served in her congressional district. Suddenly a 22-year-old young man, just, you know, crazy, out of his mind, but had a gun, moves right up and somehow was able to get it point blank range and shot the congresswoman right in the head. And the bullet went through her brain. And she's surviving at this point, but in very critical condition. Six other people, some of them are her staff members, murdered right there on the spot. One was just a 9-year-old little girl murdered in that tragedy there. And some 18 or 19 people were injured and shot in that terrible incident there in the state of Arizona. How could they have ever imagined that such a tragedy was going to take place? As a matter of fact, they said that the congresswoman on her phone had tweeted. Y'all know what tweeting is, don't you? She had tweeted on her phone and said, inviting people to come and meet with me at such and such place in front of a grocery store. And just a few minutes before that she made these comments, and then suddenly within a matter of minutes, this crazed young man walks right in point blank range and shoots her and begins to shoot randomly in the crowd. And not any of that were in that crowd could have ever in their wildest dreams ever have thought that such a horrible thing could happen that day. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I just got a call this afternoon about 1:30 or so. My mother called, and a young man, I say young because he's my age, a little bit younger than me. I went to church with him as a teenage boy, David Brown. And David has been away from the Lord for a lot of years. But yesterday, him and his brother were cutting wood, taking a tree down. Something happened, some sort of an accident. Tree fell on him and killed him. And a young man with a family, he could have never have imagined that something like that could have happened. Their family could have never imagined such a horrible thing that could have happened to them. We don't know what another day is going to bring. Some of you remember that we just a few weeks ago, probably not more than 6 or 8 weeks ago, that there was a man and his wife and another lady that came into our service on a Sunday night and sat back there behind where Brother Donnie's at. And in the altar service, they came forward and they prayed here at the altar. And the man's wife, her name was Barbara. Actually, both of the ladies' name was Barbara. And the other one, Faye, wanted to get her a Bible and did. Got her a Bible, and then she never did show up again and wasn't able to give it to her. But Yule Gregory, who was the young man, his wife, Barbara, that was sat beside him, she passed away this week. Her funeral was this afternoon. We do not know what another day. She's only 32 or 3 years old. We don't know what another day is going to bring. We can't presume on tomorrow. That's why we need to make our plans in the center of the will of God. Amen. Doing the will of God. And understand that the will of God is not something that's going to hinder you. It's not going to slow you down. It's not a ball and chain around your progress. But the will of God is the safest place to be. The will of God is the happiest place for you to be. The will of God is a wonderful place to find and to stay in. Amen. David said, there's just but a step between me and death. And for all of us here tonight, we don't know what another day is going to bring. That's why it's best for every one of us to never make to boast of tomorrow or presume what might can happen tomorrow. And if you're not a Christian, don't say, well, I'm going to get saved soon. Get saved today. Get saved now. Give your heart to the Lord now. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring or this week is going to bring. We don't have any promise of the future. Amen. Don't leave God out of your life. Don't just ignore the plan of God and the will of God for your life. But get in step with the will of God. And that one verse of Scripture talks about time frame. It talks about places. It talks about plans and prophets and all the things, all these presumptions that men make about their lives and their future. And we can't do that unless we are in the center of the will of God. Doing the will of God. Remember the story of that rich farmer there in Luke chapter 12. His ground brought forth so plentiful. Verse 17 it says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Totally presumptuous. Totally making plans for the future. Now, there was nothing wrong with building and progressing. There's nothing wrong with doing things that would describe progress. But we can't leave God out of it. You can't forsake the Lord. And that His will and His heart has to be in all of our plans. Amen. Glory to God. Brother Cartwright, when he was here, he asked me to go to Tanzania later on this year and to do some pastoral teaching to pastors. He said there's hundreds of them there that just need exposure to the Word of God and teaching. And you know me, I'm ready to go. But I'm submitting this opportunity to God. Lord, is this your plan? Is this your will? Because I don't want to step out of the will of God. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And so I commit this situation to the Lord. If it's the Lord's will for me to go to Africa this year, then I want to make sure that it's His planning and not mine. Amen. And all that we do, we need to listen to the voice of the Lord. You can see the pride that is in this description here in James chapter 4. Whereas you know what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor, just a puff of smoke that appears for a little time and then vanish away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will. You ought to say, Lord, I want to see all these things accomplished. And I've written down my plans. And I have desires and goals. But Lord, under every one of these categories, Lord, I'm submitting them all to you. Your will. Your purpose, what you want to do, and however you want to bring it to pass. And if it's not your will, Lord, then I want to stay away from it. Amen. You know, pride causes us to think that our ideas and our will could be better than God's. That's why people ignore the will of God and go their own way. It's pride. Pride keeps people from God. Pride keeps people from God's best for their life. People want to be in control of their life. They want to be the master of their fate, you know, the captain of their own life, their own soul. They want to be in control of their life, but pride demands that we control our own lives. but humility and submission to God and to the plan of God and the will of God. Understanding that His heart is good. And He cares about you and He loves you. And so when you submit your life and your future and your will to the plan of God, what a wonderful thing that it is. So the will of God is not a chain. It's not a shackle. But rather, it's the key. It's the key to you getting anywhere with God. It's the key to all these wonderful things that God puts in your heart. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Yield yourself to the Lord. Don't leave God out. But instead, make Him the center of all that you're doing. Amen. James said, you ought to say, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. So you preface all of these things that you're writing out on your plans and your goals and your little goal cards that we handed out and all those things. You preface it all with, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. And we commit ourselves to Him knowing that He does everything well. Amen. You know, He wants you to know His will. So many people, they look at the will of God as something it's something so hard to find that God has hid it from us and we could never know the will of God or understand what the will of God. But here's something that I believe with all of my heart. If you get willing, if you make your heart willing to do whatever God wants you to do, then you're in a position to hear from God and know the will of God. Amen. If you're willing to do whatever He says, if you get yourself to that place where you can say, Lord, it doesn't matter to me. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll submit myself, my life, every detail of my life. I put it into your hands. And if you get willing, completely willing to do whatever, then God, He'll make His will known to you. He's going to make His will known to you. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding. Not only does He want you to know His will, but He wants you to understand His will. There's something about drawing closer to the Lord, getting closer to God, like Moses who drew nearer to the Lord. And he revealed his acts, his ways to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. Moses, because of his closeness to the Lord, not only knew what God wanted to do, but he understood why that he wanted to do it. The closer that you get to God, you not only understand what His will is, but you can see clearly what He's wanting to accomplish and why that He's wanting to do the things that He's wanting to do. Don't be unwise, but rather understand what the will of God is. Amen. Get to know the will of God and to understand the purpose and the plans of the will of God in your life. And then Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Not only do we need to understand His will, but the Scripture says that we need to prove the will of God. Prove the will of God. Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you put it to the test and you prove the will of God. How do you do that? Well, you start out by doing what you know to do. Amen. Some folks just are sitting back waiting. Oh, I can't wait till one day God just drops this big vision on me and this everything just is so fabulous and wonderful. All the things that He wants us to do. That's not the way it is. He wants you to prove it. He wants you to take a step in the direction of the will of God. Even if it's just a small little step, take the step. Prove the will of God and put it to the test. And then take another step and another step and another step, moving in the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then do it from your heart. Since the will of God comes from the heart of God, then if you can submit yourself to His will and to His heart, and do it from your heart, there's such a wonderful, wonderful fulfillment and joy from being right where God wants you to be, doing what He has called you to do. Amen. Do the will of God from the heart. Ephesians chapter 6. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you know that that is the most successful avenue of work in the kingdom of God and work in the ministry is whenever you are putting your heart into it. Amen. Otherwise, it becomes just a drudgery to you. It's just a job. It's just a duty that you have to fulfill week after week after week. But when your heart is in it, then you can press right on. You can keep right on. You can do what needs to be done, and you have great joy and fulfillment from doing the will of God because your heart is in tune with the will of God. Amen. Don't leave God out. Don't leave God out of your plans. But start with your walk with God. Start with your relationship with God and submit everything. As I said, preface everything that you desire, even all these things that you're writing down, preface them with, if this is God's will, if this is God's will, this is what I would love to see happen. This is what's in my heart for 2011, but I'm not going to leave God out of this. I'm going to keep Him at the very center of this. He's going to be the focus of my life and my purpose. And I'm not going to make the mistake of getting out of His purpose, out of His will. But I'm going to stay right in that place that He wants me to be. People today are pretty much just... We live in a time when people are independent of God. And they love to live an independent life. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. They want to be accountable to anyone. They just want to live out their life, do what they want to do. But that's not the life of a servant. That's not the life of someone that can be used in the kingdom of God. A person that has that attitude, they're so limited in how that they can be used in the kingdom of God. But the person who yields themselves, and they're not independent, but they're absolutely dependent upon God. And they do submit themselves in every avenue of their life. They submit themselves and they are accountable to God and accountable to spiritual authorities in their life. And they have placed themselves in that place of accountability because they want to be used of the Lord. Amen. And you can be. You can be if you not leave God out. Don't leave Him out. Don't leave Him out of your life. Don't leave Him out of your plans. Don't forsake the purpose and the will of God. Get right in step with His will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not always an easy decision. Sometimes when we are proving the will of God, we have to make hard choices. Hard choices to do the will of God. Remember the choices that I made whenever I was deciding to follow the Lord, go to the Bible school and prepare for ministry. It was such a hard thing. Now when I look back on it, I think, why was that so big? Why was it so hard? Because I had all these friends, and they were doing other things. They were making plenty of money and driving really nice cars. And I had a $400 Volkswagen. It would barely go. And I didn't have much. I had to sell my drums to go to Bible school. I didn't have very much money. And it was hard. My friends would come and pull up in the driveway and sit on the hood of the car and talk to me and say, why are you doing this? Why are you going to Bible school? What's going on? Why are you doing all these things? They were taking another direction. Oh, it was a hard thing. But God, He wants to prove us. Prove our choices and our decisions that we're making. And many times they're not accepted or understood by others that are around you because you just want to please God. And you want to hear from the voice, you want to hear the voice of the Lord. You wonder how God meshes together all the plans of God. I went to a holiness convention at the bidding of my pastor and my mom. I didn't want to go. I was already involved in ministry, so quote unquote, doing some things that I thought were ministry and... of all places, I didn't want to go to this meeting. It was a very large meeting in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Who's ever heard of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma? How about Broken Bow, Oklahoma? Y'all need to visit Oklahoma. There's a lot of good Indian places out there. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma actually is a suburb of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it's huge. It is growing. Unbelievable. Over 100,000 people now in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. This is where this meeting was at. This was in August, maybe the 1st of September of 1973. And when I walked into the building, the pastor had come and pick me up. And, you know, I was just reluctant. I really didn't want to go all that much. But I just kind of trying to please these people that were trying to encourage me in a particular direction. I walked in the door of that meeting. And I saw a poster on the wall that listed who all the speakers were. And I noticed this one guy who was standing in front of a flag. And I saw his name was Senator Gene Huff. And I thought, who is he? And what's he doing at a holiness meeting? Who is this guy? And I asked people, what's a senator doing at a holiness convention? A speaker, for that matter. I sat that morning in the meeting, and Brother Huff happened to be the speaker that morning. And he preached on the home. At that time, he had done a series of messages and preached in camp meetings and different conventions on the home. And they were very important messages that he preached. And I heard that message that morning, and I could have never, ever have imagined or dreamed that when I followed the will of God, that there was even going to be the kind of connection that we've had and the family that we've had. I never would have imagined it. I thought he was the one out of place. But I went. It was during those meetings that week that I submitted my will. I yielded to the Lord. And I said, okay, God, I'll go. I went to Bible school thinking that it was like I was going to be a monk. That's what I thought. I was submitting myself. I saw Brother D.C. Branham at that meeting, the president of the Bible school at Neosho, and he wore a black suit and a white shirt and a black tie. And I thought, what is this place? What is this place? Later I found out that he wore black and white all the time because he was colorblind. And his wife would set out these gray, he wore grays and blacks because he didn't know what, he couldn't see the colors and how to match the colors. And so she made it easy for him. But I all these things were in my mind about the will of God. But finally I just came to the place where I said, okay, Lord, I'll do your will. Whatever you want me to do. And there were some testings of that and proving of that. But it's as we yield to the purpose and the plan of God that we see it begin to be unfolded. And God working. Sometimes it's the hard choices. It's the things that we don't understand, and we think, oh, this is too hard, and I could never follow that direction, that when we do, that we see His purpose unfold in our life. Amen. You see, the Lord is wanting us to yield to Him and to say, Lord, whatever, whatever. Whatever and wherever. And then timing to whenever. It's all in your hands. Above all, in our planning and our goals, don't leave God out. Don't leave God out. Make Him the center of all that we're doing. Father, oh, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You can speak to our hearts. And You can direct us, Lord, in a way that's pleasing to You. Lord, we all have choices and decisions. And every day and every year, Lord, there are these decisions that are before us. But Lord, we submit them all to You. Only, Lord, if it's Your will. Lord, if the Lord wills, then we're going to go and we're going to do and we're going to see these things fulfilled that are in our heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if you'd stand with me here tonight. You know, it's a sad thing to ignore the voice of God, ignore the will of God. The enemy builds it up in our mind and makes you think, I can't serve God, it's too big. This is just not me, it's not who I am. Oh, but you don't know all the wonderful plans that God has for you. You don't understand how that God might put His hand upon you and use you for His glory and bring you joy and happiness and fulfillment that you could never, ever know except you're yielded to the Lord. Amen. Amen. The beginning of walking in the will of God is to get saved. Be born again. Let the Lord change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Lord do a work in your life. So that from this day forward, if you're young or maybe you're older, it really doesn't make any difference. When you come to the Lord, you just give Him, you give Him your heart and you give Him your future. If you've got 10 years or 50 years left in this world, whatever it is, you just give it to God. Amen. You commit your ways unto the Lord. If there are those here tonight that you're living out your life without any real sense of purpose, let me tell you, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't have any idea. Our life is short. It's just a puff of smoke. We really don't know what another day is going to bring. Today's the day of salvation. This is the day to yield yourself to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the day to turn your life over to the Lord. And I pray that you will. I pray that you will. Amen. Let's believe God to meet needs in this service tonight. Everybody, would you pray with me?